and welcome back to Book Buzz with Jen and Peng, a podcast where we talk about romance books, our current reads, and we also have the pleasure of sitting down with some of our favorite authors and chatting with them about their amazing books.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. It's been a minute, and I feel like every time we like do a new episode, we say that it's been a minute. It's just been very busy. We've been super busy. I feel like I have no time for anything, and it stresses me out because I'm like, oh, I want to do a podcast and talk about books, but we literally have no time.
Yeah.
Like, it's been super busy, but we are back today, and hopefully, well, definitely we'll be back next week as well. But we're back this week, and we're back with an amazing, fun, exciting, and we've been planning this for months interview. We're back with USA Today bestselling author Amelia Wilde, which I love her. I adore her. She is like the sweetest person ever. And I remember because we have interviewed her before. But it was, I feel like after that, we got to know her a little bit better. We met her at Book Bonanza, and she was like the sweetest person ever.
Tiny.
I know, she is so tiny. I was like, I feel like a freaking
giant
next to her. But it is so exciting to have her back on this podcast. I love her. Like I said, we love her books. We're always talking about her heroes. So it's super exciting to have her back. And we are also going to have, hopefully, maybe a special guest joining us today. We shall see, but I'm super excited. We're going to be talking about her new book, Fair Game. Plus, I feel like I have more general questions as well, to talk about her other books, about other stuff. So we are going to be talking a little bit about Fair Game, a little bit about this, a little bit about that, a little bit about everything. So it's super exciting to talk to her. I hope you guys enjoy this interview. We're super excited, and let's go. Thank you so much, Amelia, for joining us again. Like, we were talking about it earlier. You were in our podcast, what, last year? The beginning of last year?
Was it? I think so.
It was like a year ago. Yeah. So it's super exciting to have you back, especially with this new release. How was release day for you?
It was really good. I got tagged in a bunch of posts of people saying they were loving the book. So that's always my favorite.
We did want to ask you, just because we did go over a lot of questions last time with you, but we have new ones that we didn't get to ask you just because we didn't want to keep you on here for like ever and ever. But we did want to know, because we feel with your books, we love your books, but every time we read your books, it's like, the vibe that we get from them is very different than the previous one that we read. So how do you build that world so where it's not the same thing with every book that you release?
I just think that has a lot to do with the characters, and just like imagining the way that they see everything. And I think people especially comment on that with like the collector series with Emerson's books, because it's just such a different, just the way he sees everything in the world is so different from everybody else. So that's a really obvious example, but I try to do that with everybody. So when you're looking through their eyes, you're trying to see it how they would really see it. And everybody, all those heroes, think totally differently from each other. And so that's how I go about it, is just like how they would think about it. Which probably doesn't make any sense because it's late at night, but like that's how I do it.
So just continuing on with the question that Jen just asked, how do you plot your series, especially for this one, because there are four siblings, and do you plot the stories already, or do you just write them as you go?
Okay, so which one are we talking about? Which book specifically?
Because you know how for Mason's book, it's a trilogy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Gabriel, it's also a trilogy. Do you plot each book as you write the books, or do you just write them out when whenever you're writing the books?
I would say the first brother, whoever comes first, I usually sort of have an idea of the story, of his whole story. And that's kind of it. And then I don't know what the other brothers are going to be like. Like, I know what their personalities are going to be like, but I don't know what their stories will be. And actually, I'm really excited about the Hill brothers specifically, because by the time I get to the third brother, I have left hints and clues for myself in the other books as to what his story is going to be. And so I usually spend a lot of time like rereading them, because a lot of times I will tell myself without realizing it what his book is going to be about, and so then I get to discover it, and that's sort of how that happens. And that also happened for the sister in this trilogy, where towards the end of Gabriel's book I realized what was going on with her, so I can hint at it in Jameson's upcoming trilogy. But Jameson has also been one of those characters who is doing so much during the books that he's sort of like, here's what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, I'll just go with it.
Yeah. And I have to say, out of all your heroes, I think they're all broken heroes, but then I feel like Gabriel is the most broken one. How do you come up with these ideas of which they're very different and unique in their own way for each of their baggage?
I would say that I still think of them the way that I think of Hades and Zeus and Poseidon, which is sort of just the beginning of what happens. So there's usually one brother who's more of a helper to the other ones, which is Gabriel in this family. And I always think that the helper is going to be just so damaged, because he is always doing stuff for other people, and so he's gonna hide whatever it is, and so it's gonna be terrible when it comes out. And his baggage just is really specific to him, without giving any spoilers, but it has to do with, I think of it when I'm coming up with their baggage and their backstory, like, what do they have to do in order to provide the help that their other siblings need? And so that's how I sort of come up with it. And it actually with every trilogy keeps getting more and more devastating. And like, so I don't think I'm gonna run out of ideas anytime soon.
So we talk a little bit about spoilers. So as I'm reading this book, I feel like Elise is she's very different from every heroines that I've read in books. And one specific thing that she did in the book, I was shocked. I was really shocked. I was like, wait, heroes usually do this, and it's not the heroine who does it. So I was really shocked. And how did you plan that, or how did you come up with it?
I like want to make a joke about something else that it was in the book, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know if I would say I planned it. No, actually I did. Actually, I did plan it this time. Normally I wouldn't know that I was going to do it right from the beginning, just because usually, like, the first book of any trilogy, I'm trying to get to know who these people are. But actually with this time, because I just had such a sense of Gabriel from Mason's books, that when I started writing the trilogy, I was like, oh, this is totally going to happen, like, in the third book. And I actually wanted it, not to do any spoilers, but I pulled it back a little bit. I was going to go, like, way farther with that scene, and I ended up not. So so maybe that's, like, a bonus scene or something. I don't know.
You've written so many books. And I feel like you always write trilogies. And we talked about this the other time that we had you on. Like, it feels like we read your books and it's like a plot twist at the end. And then you have to wait months for the next one to come out. Like, how do you keep up with, like, all of your characters? Like, is there a family tree that you keep? Is there a list of all the characters that you have? Or how do you keep up with so many characters? There's times where I start a new book of yours, I'm like, okay, let me wait which one was this one, or does this connect to this, or like how do you keep up with that?
You want to talk about this a little bit? No. We just it's funny because we just actually talked about this last night, where we were talking about actually the Hades books and Poseidon, mm-hmm. Zeus, and just like, how do you like keep track of all this? How do you remember? And he was asking me a couple, by the way, everyone who's listening to this on a podcast, my husband Joshua Wild is here with us today. He hasn't said anything yet, but but he's going to talk later, I'm sure, because he has spent a lot of time preparing for this podcast. But he was asking
me, we have questions for him coming up.
He was asking me, you were just asking me like what, you know, talking about the different moments in the book, and I was like, no, that wasn't the right detail, it was this. So actually it's a weird, like, I wouldn't call it a talent, but maybe just like a skill for where my books, I just know all of that off the top of my head. And sometimes I like have to like, let me go into my mind palace, because I'm remembering like Hades comes first, and then he is this far away from Leo, and he is this far away from Mason. And so like all of those are existing, but then they're also moving forward in time. So I can like remember in my mind, like, where is everybody if we like go forward a year, if we go back a year? It's just, it's really weird. I probably should have like some kind of family tree or series Bible, but I actually just remember all of it.
That's which a I know talent. You said it's wild. Not a talent, it's a talent. I take my phone somewhere and I'm like, where? And it takes me like freaking 2 hours to realize where my phone is.
Same though. Like, I probably know where like Hades' phone is. For about 3 years of history or whatever, but my own stuff, I don't know where it is. So.
Okay, so you've co-write with a few authors,
mm-hmm.
and we always get confused as to how do you guys even write your books? How do you pick which character to write or what chapter to write?
I think it really just depends on every single book mm-hmm. being different, because I know personally my writing schedule for the last, since we've met even, has been just nuts. And so I think it just sort of depends like where it is falling. So you sort of just have an idea of like, who do you like more? I usually like both people a lot. And so I tend to do a lot of writing kind of no matter what I'm working on. It's just one of those weird things that depends on like, how do you feel this month? Like, what else is going on? And so it sort of shakes out to be different every single time. So it's just like one of those magical things where you never know what's going to happen.
How do you guys divide it to where it's saying, oh, I'm going to write this scene and then you're going to write this one, or write the follow-up of this scene? Like, how does that work? Like, is there always like confusion into that, or is it just easygoing? And divide the parts before you start writing.
I would also say that really depends on who you're working with and who, just different people do different stuff. So for me, it's harder actually for me to like split chapters with somebody, because I am remembering the whole book. Like when I'm writing it, I'm remembering everything that happened. So if I didn't write a chapter, I don't have that very fresh in my mind. Even if I go look at it, like I'm not having the easiest time of like weaving them together, which is something that I really like to do in my own books, where all the details are sort of like small and threaded through everything. And so I sort of like a process best where like one person is drafting it, and then the second person is going to come through and add even more, and then you're going to take turns so that you're both kind of going through the whole thing. But I have worked on projects with people where we do split it, and that can be okay too. It just really depends on what kind of story it is. Like, I don't know. It's so different. I like it. I like writing the whole thing and then switching off sort of like layers just so I can remember it, but it's all great.
Mm-hmm. And we've asked you this question previous interview, but what do you love about writing retelling stories? Because you did write Zeus, Hades, the Greek mythology, and then Beauty and the Beast with Leo, and then Cinderella with Knepworth. How do you,
and we're what still do you waiting, love about it? We're still waiting for our last book.
Listen, I know that I have made promises to you guys about Ursula. Like, I have to tell you, I have a secret co-writer. I can't remember. See, this, like, I remember everything about my books, but not what I've said out loud. I don't think I announced her yet, so I'm not going to, like, take her by surprise on this podcast. But I do have a secret co-writer for that project. And it, just in the last couple months, we have been talking about the story, and it is, like, even more heart-wrenching and angsty and amazing than it even was. And the character of Triton has some brothers that we have come up with who are just, like, one of them might, I think, even top Gabriel Hill. So, like, that whole thing is amazing.
You can't tell us, but Josh, on the other hand.
He hasn't made any promises. What was the question? Oh, what do I like about writing retellings?
Yes.
It is taking it, first of all, from, like, the point of view of somebody who maybe has actually a secret that you didn't know. Even Ursula, for example, we don't really learn very much about her at all. There's, like, not really any detail about why she's doing this stuff or where she came from. So that's always really interesting to me, to give somebody a backstory if they didn't have one or if it wasn't fleshed out. But my other favorite thing is sort of just taking, like, the vibe of their story, or if they have some kind of power, and, like, transforming it into this world. That is my favorite, because I guess I'll just give, like, a mini spoiler. Like, Ursula, I'm really excited about it, if you can't tell. Ursula in the Disney movie sort of gives people what they want. Like, they come to her needing something and she helps them. And so for her story, which is going to be a contemporary romance, she's going to do the same thing. This woman in the contemporary romance is not a giant squid or octopus. She's just, like, a woman in New York, but she is still doing that sort of deal making where, and then you get to do a cool thing. This is, like, it's so late at night that it's not making much sense, I feel like, but then you get to do a cool thing where, like, is she doing this through some kind of magical power? Because in the movie, she's very much like a witch, and she makes fun of that, and that's a joke. But in this story that I'm going to tell with this secret co-writer, it's going to be an open question. Like, how is she doing it? Is it something that she has a power to do, or is she just influential? So sort of, like, taking those things that people love about those stories, the retellings, and then putting it into just a little bit of a different context, and maybe the parts of it that you didn't pay that much attention to in the original, and, like, making those really, really deep. That's what I like. I don't know about other people.
I'm, like, super excited, and I feel like I literally tell Payne, where's the book that Amelia said was gonna happen?
It's in the works. So, like, yeah, it's happening.
And it's funny because I also message you, Amelia. I'm like, so where's my book? Where's
yeah. My-? Every so often I look for a message.
I'm not even gonna open it. I know what it's gonna say.
No, I mean, next time you message me, I'll tell you, because, like, I was really thinking about you. I think we were talking about it because I have so many projects that were like, okay, let's schedule out your project so that we can get to Ursula and write it, like, this year, so that we can really, like, launch it in a good way. And so we were talking about it, and I was thinking about you, like, I should tell her that there's stuff happening.
How far in advance do you plot your books? Like, do you start the year saying, okay, this year I'm going to release this number of books, this year I'm going to release these characters? Like, how do you plan out all of your releases?
I just plan it like I don't have a sense of time or space, because, like, it's just, I have a plan for the year and then something comes along. So, like, things come along and then I'm like, oh, I need to move this. I need to drop this. As for, like, the plotting, I actually think about the books for a really, really long time before I write them. Like, I'm thinking about the next brother's book during the first brother's trilogy, and I'm thinking about like my book to books from now, right now, to get the idea. So then when it's actually time to outline, I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. Gabriel's book, actually, I don't want to say spawned because it's such an like a weird and gross word, but there's a couple characters in his book who by the third book, people were really reacting to very strongly. And I found myself reacting very strongly. And so during the process of writing his third book, I actually like had these stories pop into my mind for these other characters. So there's going to be two additional duets in this world that are not the Hill brothers. It's actually Elise's sisters are both going to end up having duets about them. So like the schedule question is like, well, it was going to be this and now it's going to be like, it's going to be different stuff and even more. So I'm trying to keep it to like a minimum. I just have a lot of ideas.
But I feel like me and Pink have talked about this before. Like you're such a boss at releasing books. Cause I feel like you release so many in a year and it's like, how does she do it? Like, and then you do, like, you're a mom, you're a wife, like, you're, like, how do you find the time to write all these amazing books in a year?
I might have to, like, I've hurt myself, like, my hands hurt by doing that. I wish he could come back right now, but that's the only way that this works. Like, Josh is the guy, like he's the mom, he's the stay-at-home mom, he's the stay-at-home dad, and so that's the only reason that I have time. Like it takes a long time to do all this. And so he's like the guy who's on the ground. That's how I pull it off. I literally would collapse. Yeah.
How much do you write a day?
I mean, I tend to be a binge writer, so I won't really start something until the deadline is too close for comfort. I'm really trying to not do that this year in 2023. It hasn't worked out yet, but I'm just like, I'm so confident that it's going to. So I write anywhere from like probably at the low end, like 2,000 words a day. But at the high end, if something's like really imminent, like up to 15,000 words a day, which I don't recommend that anyone do ever. So it's kind of a range, but I'm trying to do it in a more sensible way now that we're in March. So
that's not in June, not at the beginning of the year, now,
right? Yeah. I had too many deadlines in the beginning. I couldn't be reasonable. So yeah.
How long does it take you, like when you say you know you're close to a deadline and you're writing, like how long does it normally take you to write a book? Not a trilogy or a duet, like just a single book. How long does it take you to write that?
If I have a deadline?
I've seen her do it in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
That was like a short book, though. So I would say, I don't know if I want to like expose myself on a podcast. I would say that the last, how many books have I had this year? I think three. I think every book that I've written this year, which is at least three of them, has taken like between 1 and 2 weeks to write. So like 2 weeks would be, I didn't write very much every day. And which is not a long time. So I don't know. Again, I don't recommend that to anybody who's trying to write. It works for me because then that's all I think about for 2 weeks. I'm only thinking about that, and that's sort of it. So it's kind of nice to do it that way. It's just like more painful. So
you know what we said, when you do like things last minute, it's always better. I remember when I was in school and I used to have to write papers, I was up the night before until like 3 a.m. writing it.
Yeah.
Or it was due like in an hour or two.
I think that editing sometimes, I think everybody should edit, obviously. And I do. sometimes, like, even after the fact, like, I'll read books and I'll be like, oh, I found something that I would change, and then I'll change it, you know, like, to make the book better for whoever comes next. And that is something I would like to have more time for. But I think that editing it after a point, you're just kind of getting a new book. Like, you're not getting what you started with at all. So it kind of takes some of, like, the magic out of it that it might have had earlier. And I also think that it's sort of misleading to say that I write it in 2 weeks, because I do think about it for a long time before that. So, like, a lot of the small details and stuff that I'm going to bring through the whole trilogy or the whole book or the theme of it that I've been talking about, or the thing that I really want to do with this character, I've actually thought about it, you know, for sometimes at least 3 books. If it's like the third brother in a trilogy, then I've thought about it for 6 books before him. So I'm not actually just like coming up with the idea and then writing the whole thing in 2 weeks. There's like a long time where there's a lead up, you know. I'm always just thinking about, like, who is this guy and how could he possibly know Leo Morelli, and how can he like run across Zeus in the middle of New York City? So it's like a longer process than I think it maybe seems.
The plotting takes time. It's always like you start from the plotting, so it does take long. It takes you longer than when you write for a week, 2 weeks.
yeah.
Since you brought up Zeus, a reader asked, who is your favorite between Hades, Zeus, and Poseidon?
Well, my favorite is always Hades. I love him. I loved him first and longest and best. I was talking about with one of my friends who's a reader about this not that long ago, and she said like oh, I loved Gabriel's books, but like no one is ever going to beat Mason for me. And I was like, oh, you know, that happens to me too, where it's the first mover advantage. So whichever brother is first, I tend to love the best. Mm-hmm. But other people are not like that, which we determined. Like, we all have friends who will change their allegiance to have like the second brother be the favorite. So my favorite is Hades, because in a lot of ways he's the most like me. Like, Zeus is a very, very selfless helper, and I think I might have like dipped at some point and just been like, you know, I have to go. So I just really identify with Hades and how just annoyed he is at everyone, and how it's like always very bright and he's like, this is not necessary, this is terrible. So he's my favorite. But all of them have traits that I love about them. We were talking about this last night too. All of them have traits. I think like Poseidon's sense of humor is one of my favorite, because he just has like such a physical comedy of like, I'll just throw you off the boat and that'll be hilarious and we'll laugh about it later. So but yeah, Hades is my favorite. For a long answer to a short question.
Yeah. So these questions, our special guest today on our podcast is Amelia's husband, Josh Wilde. And our first question for you is, actually, Amelia told us from the previous interview that it was actually Josh who you pushed Amelia to become a writer. And we want to thank you for pushing her, because we love her books. We love her. So thank you for pushing her. And she just mentioned that you're a stay-at-home dad and you watch the kids. And so that's why she was able to write. So thank you so much for all your hard work.
Yeah. I was going to actually use this podcast as a platform to let everybody know that they can come have me sign up.
Thank you. That was so nice of you guys.
So our first question is, what made you encourage Amelia to become an author?
I mean, so we've known each other for like decades and decades. What, like?
Hold on. Can we stop? I just want you to take a minute and tell them what you did the last few days.
Oh my God.
Just go ahead really quick. Okay.
Well, I wasn't going to say it.
Go ahead and say it, because I know you. Just go ahead and say it.
All right. So I wanted to be prepared for this, and I didn't want to be caught off guard with it. Okay. I have to back up. The thing about the Hades and Zeus and Poseidon is that I was waiting for the audiobooks for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to listen to them. And then something is kind of wonky about one of them. So I was waiting for that to get fixed and I was going to read it. But I didn't want to come on the podcast and not be able to discuss if it came up. Hades and Zeus and Poseidon, because that's like a thing, you know? So I spent like 48 hours reading all 9 books, just
like that's what
just straight, said. Just straight through.
Like in case there was a pop quiz, you guys, about like,
yeah. But let me ask this. Who is your favorite?
Yeah. So like, yeah, first, don't forget the other question though. Tell them who your favorite is. And tell them why you thought I should be doing this.
I feel like I'll get in trouble if it's not Hades, but
that's fine. Be honest.
I honestly don't know, because the thing is, like, the one that's freshest in my mind is Poseidon, because, you know,
he's last.
He was last for me. But like, you know, when you're in the thick of it, when you're in their book, it's like, you know, the obvious choice is the guy you're reading, but they're all just really good. I found that I was delighted when they'd show up in the other books, though, is the thing. Even in Poseidon's book, you're getting through all of their story, and then suddenly his brothers show up, right? And you're like, oh, yeah. Actually. Right?
So it's Poseidon after all?
I don't know. Maybe. It might be Poseidon.
Okay, and then Peng,
I feel like is it Poseidon for you? Because I think you started with Poseidon and went back.
Yes, I actually started with Poseidon because I saw the cover and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to read this book. And so I seriously messaged Serena. I was like, Serena, you have to let me get this arc when this book, the arcs comes out, because I need it. And so she actually told me when the sign up went up. So I read it. And then I believe I read the first book. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and read Amelia's books. I read Hades. And then, oh my gosh, I hated it. Zeus. I could not stand Zeus at all. Right. So I'm okay, Zeus is, he's not a good man. And then loved Hades so much. And then I read Zeus. And I was like, Zeus is actually a very good man. So I really can't pick either. But I tend to love the most broken man. So I think I will go with Hades too.
Wow.
Like, he's in a lot of pain. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's worth it. That's what the advantage is.
You just want to fix him.
But the thing is, okay, this is what, I don't want to steal your thunder on this.
What?
Since last year, since I've been on this podcast, I actually did a lot of rewriting of these books, especially for Hades. So if anybody's like out there and read it and maybe really, really hated Zeus, he is different. He's different now in the final version of Hades books, which I just think everybody should go back and reread them because they're just so great now. But Zeus in particular was, really hard because I'd never written about three brothers before. And Hades just hated him. And I didn't know why. So I just hated him. So that's how I wrote him. And then I realized, you know, like, oh, he's not that bad. Okay. But anyway, go tell him about how you got me into writing. Sorry, I took over your question. Go ahead. I'll lean back here. You go up there.
So, I mean, we just know each other for a really long time. She's always, what was it, in sixth grade she'd turn in a book report every day for extra credit, so she was just constantly in a book. And you know, and so then later on she transitioned to a lot of editing stuff. She, you know, got some things put in some things, but ultimately it was like, it was just gonna happen eventually, right? I feel. Yeah. So I, you know, it was just a thing of like, why wait, right?
Let's write short erotica.
Sure. Yeah. Let's start somewhere. But it had been hot for a while, right? And it ended up being that we were late to the party on that one. But then like that was the stepping stone that you took for the
and now the, now big, what? The big leagues. Now how do you think about it? Now you think it's a great idea, right?
It's an amazing idea.
Yeah.
How? What was your the first book that you read of hers though? Like, what do you always do? You read her books and say, "No, you need to change this," or "No, don't let this happen." Like, do you give your input, or does he read your books before they release?
Yeah, I don't think you read them before.
Okay. I was going to say earlier, if you guys want to talk about Ursula, I you know what happened.
Oh, you know.
I know the whole story, basically the whole story of book one.
Amelia, I think you need to go check on your daughter.
Someone's crying.
You get me a drink, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, so If we go back and back and back, I think there was a hesitation with having me read anything. I don't know why though, because like I read bits and pieces, right? And it was like, this is fine. Like, why would it be weird to do that? But it wasn't until like, what was the one? The Cards of Love short story.
That wasn't short. That was a whole novel.
Okay. the Cards of Love. Not anthology, but
yeah, books. Collection.
Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And where she, something, I don't know what happened, but she was like, I'm going to write exactly what I want to write. And it got really dark, right? It just went really dark. So I remember reading that, and I remember writing a review actually for that one that she posted. That was pretty hilarious. So then after that was, I feel like right after that, that was when you started with Hades and Zeus and Poseidon, or shortly after that.
Yeah.
But then it was like, this is just what I'm going to do, because, and then I saw her, you know, enjoy her writing more, and then actually like read them, you know, go back and appreciate them as the book once it was all said and done. So and like I said, I held off on Hades because I really wanted to listen to the audiobook.
And you're still going to one day.
Yeah. So I had read a lot of the writing, and then I really got into reading it after Book Bonanza last summer, though, because we
were all together. Do you guys remember that?
But we ended up listening to
Secret Beast. Yeah.
So all of Leo's books while we were driving to and from Texas. Had a lot of time to kill. So, but it was really, really good. Like really, really good.
Mm-hmm. That was something.
You guys come by the way. Bonanza this year?
Yes, we are both coming to Book Bonanza.
How was that for you? We should
do some episodes there.
The what?
Would you guys do some episodes there? Drag some authors up to a room somewhere and just sit them down for some live Q&A?
You know, I don't know. Book Bonanza is so stressful, though. Like, I feel not stressful, it's like a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, I do want to ask both of you, like, you, Josh, seeing it from, you know, the different, a little bit different perspective than Amelia. Like, how was that experience for you being there at Book Bonanza?
as a supporter, I really, really enjoy watching Amelia excel. And like, so watching her career, like, feels really, really good. Like, I found you guys like by like snooping around, seeing like who was talking about her books. And then you guys have always talked about her so highly. I was like, I was like, hey, listen to these ladies talk about your books. It's really, really nice. And then I just ended up, you know, continuing to listen that way. So watching her in that environment and interacting with people, you know, face to face like that, and all the signing and all the books moving in and out, like, it feels really, really good. It's like, it's rewarding for me, I guess, similarly. So it's nice.
So nice.
It's just so nice.
I'm such a nightmare and stuff. And he's just like,
It's so funny because I remember we went up to Amelia's table. What did we go together? I think me and Ping went together. And Amelia's like, Josh just went to the restroom. He's gonna be mad.
That was the only stressful thing for me about the whole thing, because I knew you guys were there. And then of course I get back and she's like, you just missed them.
You left during the one time.
I wasn't even gone. I was gone for maybe 15 minutes.
You ran because you didn't want to.
Again, we stood there. We were taking, like, I don't think we even took pictures with Amelia because Amelia's like, well, come back.
Yeah.
That was really fun. That was fun.
So besides the three brothers, did you read any other books by Amelia?
Yeah. So there was Leo, and then I read all of Mason Hill.
Yeah.
And I'm through book two of Emerson. The audiobook isn't out yet, so I might actually just get cave and just read it. But
it's a harsh cliffhanger.
But you know, I'm pretty busy a lot of the time, so it's hard to like actually sit and look at something. So I have to do a lot more listening.
Do you prefer audiobook or reading it?
My standard for quality of audiobook is so low that like sometimes I'll just have Siri read it to me. Like I just don't care. Like I really appreciate good narration, obviously. Like, and then it's like a performance thing that you're focused on, but like I really don't it makes it so much easier to like get through it, you know, while I'm having to be busy with stuff. So Maybe one day I'll sit down with a book.
From all of the books that you've read from Amelia, which one has been your favorite?
Okay, so it's going to have to be book three of Poseidon, because like...
That's not what I thought you were going to say at all.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear your answer now.
So the thing about Poseidon book three is that I hear about these books as they're being developed and created. So by the time I spent 48 hours last week finally reading all of them, it was like just seeing that whole thing play out and you know, in real time, after knowing all the lore, after knowing all of like what the story was going to be, because that's always being talked about near me, right? So I was dying to get to the part where Zeus and Hades are...
Hey, not everyone has read it, so...
You know, I think you all know what I'm talking about. So then it finally happened, and it was really nice, you know? Sorry for the spoilers.
No, that's okay.
When you hear her plotting, because you say that you hear, like, you're there when she's plotting a story, you're there when she's talking about it. Has it ever happened to you where, like, no, that shouldn't happen, or maybe you should change this? Like, do you give your input on her plotting, or do you not say anything?
I've had an idea that gets used here and there.
You know what, though? That did happen with Gabriel's book, the last one.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say your thing first. But
that was it. I mean I know that I've had some ideas work their way into things, some plot twists. There was that one a long time ago that was pretty good. I don't know how much of my, like, the stuff that I say gets in there.
I feel like it's usually like I'll have outlined a book and then I'm writing it, and then while I'm writing it I just feel like something's wrong with the story. Like I've made some decision or something's supposed to happen, and then I'm like trying to write it and something just seems wrong about it. Which actually happened with like a pretty huge plot point in Fair Game. So I won't do a spoiler on which one it was, but I was like thinking about it for like a week. And finally I just told him the whole story, which he like already knew. And I was like, do you think that it makes sense to change it to this other thing instead, where you know, the story is still the same, but like the character doesn't have to do, like, she, you know, she ends up not having to do this thing that she thought she was going to have to do. And does that make more sense for her? And then he's like, oh yeah, because of this and this and this. And then I'm like, oh, good. I feel more confident now. So like that sort of thing, I think happens a lot. Cause I'm kind of like, I kind of know what the story is supposed to be, but then I want somebody else to tell me if it's going to be like, oh no, you should just go like as hard as you are going to, or you should just like bring it back literal, or this makes more sense, you know? So he's really good for that.
So yes. have you read any other books besides Amelia's books?
Oh, yeah, I've been reading romance since I was a kid.
Really?
Told them the thing that you just told me last night, so, that you love. That you love in books.
Oh, what's the trope called?
It's called hurt comfort. But so, you like when they have
The umbrella term is hurt comfort, right? But specifically where one of the characters is bathing the other character, and it's like that really quiet, you know, the tender stuff that usually comes after something really harsh that happened. I've always liked that.
Because your first romance book had it in it, right?
Yep. Very first one had it. And it was a real game changer. So yeah. So that's where you can probably trace all my tenderness back to is.
So let me ask you, what was the first romance book that you read?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the name of it. I really don't, because the thing is like I feel like a lot of romance readers, maybe my age and older, would have found some novels, some spicy novels on their grandmother's bookshelf. Taking it somewhere to just read privately, you know, and that was how it was. But I was so, you know, it was like I never looked at the cover, right? Because it was like I gotta read this, like it really quick, like I can't stop to look at. I have no idea what it was. Like I still remember that scene though. Specifically.
Was it a cowboy romance?
No, it was
was it Harlequin?
Yeah, it was like
we could probably track it down. Yeah.
There was, you know, it was the night, right? Yeah, so it was
like, was it historical?
No, not really, but it was
research maybe. Time
for us. We're gonna find it, we're gonna track it down.
But you know, he's very gruff and dirty, and then like so the thing where he's taken care of her in the tub.
I really want to know what this is now.
But yeah, that was it.
I thought it was cowboys. That's the whole time I thought it was cowboys. Nope, so this changes a lot for me. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So what other books?
I think that was different for you too. I think I remember you guys talking about kind of how you originally got into it, and it sounds like maybe both of you got into it because of like a certain movie that had come out. Fifty Shades. And you were like, let's get into romance that way. And maybe that's like the more modern version of finding the book on your grandmother's shelf. And we have a good story about was it 50 Shades or the second one? So 50 Shades comes out. and Amelia's so pregnant, like so very pregnant, like fully pregnant. And we went to see 50 Shades and we walk in and we get carded, like, like, buddy, it's too late. Like, what isn't gonna inspire anything?
Like at our hometown movie theater downtown with like three screens, and so like carded by like a teenage kid. Like I'm 27 at this time, and like he's carding me, and I like literally put my hands on the counter and I laughed like until there were tears in my eyes, because like it was that hilarious to me that like we would be under 16 or whatever, like trying to go see 50 Shades, and like I'm like 7 months pregnant or whatever. Like it was the funniest thing.
You should be like, really? Really?
Yeah. Like, okay.
Get out of my way.
Yeah. Just one of those great times.
So what's your favorite trope?
Yeah. Mine's obviously like damaged billionaires. Right. Revenge. Yeah. What's yours?
What is it called? It keeps slipping away.
It's not really a trope. Sure. It's like okay. A thing that happens.
I don't know. What do you think my favorite trope is?
I don't know.
It's all good. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Like I just enjoy
you it. You like office romance.
It doesn't seem to matter.
You like, just like all of it.
It doesn't seem to matter because sometimes, because I watch a lot of authors talking about what's working for them and not working for them. And so then I'll go in as like this background character in Amelia's life who just like tries to find everything that I can do to help. Right. And I'm like, so I'll start independently researching like, okay, like this worked for them. Let's look into this. So I end up reading a lot of books that aren't necessarily anything that I would have gravitated toward, but like, I've accidentally enjoyed so many bonkers things. Just like I read a reverse harem like a few weeks ago, and by the end of it there's a cliffhanger and I'm like, hey, whoops, like I'm gonna buy the next book actually. So it just doesn't
there's
seem
a lot matter. On our Kindle account.
Right. I will say though, a lot of those random books that I end up writing, and not to like badmouth any authors specifically, but like they're just like, if they get all the storytelling parts right, like the way the story is supposed to progress right, like I'll follow it through and I'll read that and it's everything's good and I enjoy it, right? But depending on like kind of like the level of craft, a lot of those books make me think like, well, you know, maybe when the kids are all in school I could sit down and start doing this, because in that moment I'm like, I could write this, right? And that's the other problem with spending that 48 hours reading 9 Amelia Wilde books, is that her books are very good. Like they're just very well written. And I'm like, I can't write. I couldn't do this. I would need the entire school year to do it. Like anything. Like one book, maybe if I'm lucky. And that's with help. Like I would have very good help.
Hey, it could be a co-write. You could do a co-write.
Yeah. Just put my name on
the. Yeah, I could do half. And then rewrite when
you'll,
you did
you'll it. Finish, you'll yeah. finish the book and Joshua will be like, just put my name on it.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I can fit another one.
Yeah, why not?
One other book.
What's one more?
Josh, what do you think about the romance community?
Oh, it's fun. It's like, I mean, with the authors and with the readers. And it's not just authors and readers, like the cover designers, the people editing, the people like helping with ads, like there's just everybody who has something they can contribute. They like are so excited and ready to contribute. Like everyone's just there for each other. And it's really, really good. It just feels really good. Most of the time, like 99% of the time, it's really, really, really good.
You did say you read other romance books. Like, how do you find your, like, which books, like those books? Like, do you look on Amazon? Like, how do you know which books to read?
With romance?
Does Amelia tell you, read this book?
Oh, I mean, she tells me to read stuff all the time. And I'm like...
But it's not not romance books. Yeah, go ahead. Tell them how you make romance books.
I didn't mean that, but like I said, a lot of it is just like I go to conduct independent research to see if it's something like that we could do, like to improve how our like, you know, the business of writing romance is functioning here, to see if there's any way that I can contribute in that way. And I can just like distill whatever I've learned down to be like, if you do this, maybe this will work because this worked for them. And I researched this and that and the other thing. So I end up reading a lot of books that way to see like, cause you know, somebody will say, I don't even do ads. Like this book is standing on its own. And I'm like, well, let's see that book then. You know what I mean? A lot of it is that. A lot of it is recommendation from, you know, either Amelia or, you know, our other friends in the community, maybe, that kind of stuff. I read a lot of stuff that's not romance as well. So I, you know, but the romance stuff, it usually comes to me.
I need you and Amelia to like co-write a book. Like,
I think he would actually be like really good at being like, okay, here's the story idea. Because I'm very much like, the story is that he's rich and something terrible happened to him and that's it. And so like, if like, there's not anything else outside that for me, but I feel like he wouldn't have a good idea of like, okay, listen, here's what he would still have to have something terrible happen to him. Like, that's like, I don't get out of bed for anything less than that. But like, I feel like he would have a really interesting idea of it. And we actually could work together on like, oh, here's what should happen. And like, okay, just write this chapter pretty like you do, and then we'll fix it. And so I think it could work out, actually.
It could work. Yeah.
We'll dedicate it to you.
Yeah, there you go.
2024. That's yeah.
That's the deadline.
Yeah, that's have the deadline. It done.
Before that. Okay. Challenge accepted.
So before we end this podcast, Amelia, I see quite a few pre-orders up on Amazon.
Yes.
Which is Flight Risk, Cross Your Heart, Dearly Beloved, and Hero Worship. I am seriously excited for all of them. But Hercules, I've always loved Hercules. So I am so excited for Hero Worship. So you did mention that the other two books are duets. For Elise's sisters, their duets. And will these be trilogies? Will we die because of the cliffhangers? Or will they just be standalone?
So Flight Risk is Jameson's first book. His is going to be a trilogy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, what were all the books that you just named? Dearly Beloved is a duet. And the first book is called, as you know, because of the pre-order, Dearly Beloved. The second book is called Dearly Departed. So like, as soon as my secret co-writer friend said that, I was like, oh my God, it's a duet now. Sorry, you get two books. Cross My Heart is, I think, Cross Your Heart, Cross My Heart is, I think, going to be a trilogy as well. Sinclair's two brothers have had trilogies, so if everything goes according to plan, that will be a trilogy. But Hero Worship is actually going to be a standalone, and it's the first standalone that I've done since like Hades. So you will not have to wait for a cliffhanger. That will be a standalone. You're very excited for that one too. So,
and I think we were talking about it the other day, and Peng was like, I wonder if it's part of a duet. I was like, probably is, probably a trilogy. Amelia never writes standalones. She's always killing us with those cliffhangers.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? I mean, if it like makes sense to do that.
Listen, what had happened was my publicist, Nina Grinstead at Valentine PR, was just like, you have too many books on here. Because I had another idea, which if you're in my Facebook group, you probably have seen me hinting at it for like all year or whatever. But I had another idea, and I was like, this new idea that I have, I feel like could be the center of a new, like either set of brothers or found family. He could be the new, like after the Hill brothers. Cause he just has that much like charisma around him to be another Hades. You know what I mean? So I was like, if he's going to be a new trilogy, he's going to be a big trilogy, and I can't do 9 books of my second generation gods. So, they became standalones because of that. But even those, there's going to be the set of three kind of brothers, like Zeus's sons are going to be the three brothers. And there's going to be three standalones for them. But then next year there's going to be, if all of my like evil plans coalesce, I will have two like bigger trilogies that are sort of series slash, I mean, all of them are going to be in my same world as they always are, but series slash world trilogies happening in 2024 that are going to be like new families. One of them might be a lady who you know as Ursula. This other guy is like a secret guy who I've hinted at in my group who might like may or may not live in a theater slash opera house. So like that is what happened. That's why they're standalones, but it's going to be really cool, I think.
Just know that the Ursula book is my most anticipated book. That ever since you mentioned it in our podcast, that's been my number one most anticipated book. And it's still not here. So I'm looking forward to
like,
it.
That's what I'm afraid of. Like, if I write it, what will you anticipate? You know, I'll have to have something else.
Your co-write with Josh. Yeah, that can be my next one.
Okay, we'll have that waiting in the... You know what? We'll get together at this year's Book Bonanza. We'll put a bunch of papers in a hat, like all your favorite stuff, and then I'll draw five of them, and that will be our co-write. And it'll just be like whatever, like it'll just be called like Your Heart's Desire, you know?
Oh, we have it recorded. That's what we're doing.
This is a commitment. This is legally binding.
Yeah, in June.
It's a plan. I would do it. I can't get into another story of what else I've been doing in my like non-existent spare time, but absolutely I would 1000% play this game and do this. So you got it.
We'll set a date, the time and date and location like 5 days before Book Bonanza.
Yeah, and we'll do it on this podcast. It'll be a mini cast.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do it. It's a deal. We're shaking hands.
And so we have this little questions for the both of you. It's just questions, so to see you guys could see who is most likely to do this thing, the questions. And so we'll try the first question and then you guys will get the hang of what our next question
is. It's our little couples game. We're gonna do a couples game today.
Let's do it. Ask it.
Okay. The first question, who is most likely to say, I love you first?
Him.
who is most likely to cry watching a movie?
Depends on the movie.
We might be tied.
Yeah.
Because I cry over a lot of stuff in movies.
We cry over very different things.
Yeah. So.
What different things? What do you guys cry about in movies?
Oh God, think of an example, because I could have thought of like a billion examples.
I cry during the heartfelt moments of like when everybody rallies together around things that tends to get me.
Have you seen the movie? What is that movie called?
The one that you just watched?
Mm-mm.
What?
The one with the feelings.
With the feelings? Oh, Inside Out.
Inside Out. Yeah. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yes.
Bing Bong?
I saw that movie for the first time before I was pregnant numerous times. And so we went back to watch it with our kids when our youngest daughter was still a baby. And so I had forgotten what happens to Bing Bong. And when it started to like get close, I started to like have these like haunted memories of it, and then realized that like that I could not take it, and I ended up sobbing over like this Bing Bong thing, and my two older kids were just like what's going on? Seriously, because that's how hard I was crying. So it's like stuff like that will just come out of left field and just get me out of nowhere.
Next question, who is most likely to forget an anniversary?
Me.
No, we're both guilty of that, actually.
No one is right now. We have to, like, it's the second, right?
I've asked people close to us, like, hey, did you write down the day we got married? I always think it's a different day. And she's like, is it this day? And I'm like, I think so.
I have to look for a Facebook memory.
Yeah. I have too. I've done it because it's a really specific one. It's kind of easy to find. So
Yeah.
You guys remind me of, I don't know if you've ever watched Friends, Chandler and Monica, where they're both have different dates for their anniversary.
Sure. I just don't know any dates.
Who is most likely to fall asleep first?
I don't know.
always say I'm staying up late, so it's probably you, but then...
Well, I say that, but then, like, for whatever reason, I feel like I can never fall asleep. Like, if I'm sleeping somewhere else, I know that she's still awake because I haven't fallen asleep yet. And then I'll hear about it the next day. Like, yeah, I ended up staying up till like 3 a.m.
Yeah, he'll be like, I sensed you. I sensed you awake. And I'm like, what?
You need something.
What's wrong with you? That's so weird.
I'm trying to stay up out of solidarity. You're up here writing all throughout the night. What if you need something?
Who is most likely to apologize first?
I never apologize, so it's in every time.
And Mel is just waiting for the I'm sorry. And she's like, uh-huh, I know you are.
Who is most likely to run late?
Oh, no, I think it's still you. Well, we've gotten a system where if we ever have to be anywhere, I will put it in our, like, we have a shared calendar on our iPhones. So, like, all our appointments go in there. And so I'll put it the time of the appointment in, like, 10 minutes or 15 minutes early before it actually is. And that's how we get anywhere on time.
That has saved us actually multiple times.
Yeah. So it's like we're tied. We're both really bad at it, but I have...
I've started doing it as well.
Yeah.
Because it's saved us so many times.
Yeah.
You found the correct system.
We cracked the code.
What time is it at 4? Okay.
3:45.
We have to be there at 2.
Who is most likely to burn dinner?
Oh, I would be, because I don't make anything. So if I suddenly had to make dinner... I almost burned waffles this morning. Like, I make waffles. Like, I work a lot at my parents' house, which, like, is a whole thing. But anyway, I make waffles there, like, every day. And today, they almost burned. Like, it's never even it's never even happened before. I don't even know what happened. But, like, so I don't know. It would be me. He's good at cooking. I feel really, like, I'm telling the world all of my faults right now.
Who is most likely to start an argument?
Yeah. I don't know. Is it me?
No.
I'm usually the one who's willing to be, like, really defensive about something. Like, I take it the wrong way. So maybe that's... He never tries to start an argument, but then he does. Because I don't get it right.
How would that benefit me to try to start? If I'm there, it was an accident, and I'm already trying to be like, let's go back.
And I'm always like, no, you said it. See, live with it.
Yeah, and well, now actually, what I meant was,
you still wrong the first time. What I really meant.
That's actually the last question for this little game we have. And so thank you both so much for joining us today, for being with us on this podcast. I had so much fun. My cheeks are literally hurting from smiling so much. So thank you so much for joining us today. And we can't wait for what you have next for us, Amelia. We are so excited. I am dying for that Hercules book. And for any of your books. So please write faster, because we want to read them.
Yes, I am on it. It's been great to be back. I don't know if I've ever been on a podcast twice before. This is obviously my favorite podcast.
Actually, go ahead. When you guys said that you were going to have us both on, my first thought was actually, I think that Amelia Wilde's going to be the first person to be on there twice. And then immediately after that, you guys were like, actually, Corinne's here.
Well, I'm going to be the first one to be on here three times. Honest, I'm going to see you at Book Bonanza to plan your special book.
In defense, Amelia disappears all the time. It's so hard to, like, catch her and be like, hey, Amelia, you want to be in our podcast?
Because I'm writing, but we have a date now.
Okay, she's going to be the first one to be on here.
Corinne is not going to beat me on this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hashtag Book Bonanza 2023. So,
yeah. And you'll be the first. And you'll be the first one to be on it twice within the year.
Yeah. See, like, twice with my husband, too. Yeah. That might be another award. So yeah. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Yeah. It's a date. But
awesome. Thanks, guys. You're amazing.
So much for being here. You guys are truly amazing, Josh. It was so much fun having you here. We cannot wait for Book Bonanza, and we're planning this. We have it recorded. We're doing that date in Book Bonanza.
Amazing.
Good.
High five. Yes.
Well, we hope you guys have a great night, and thank you so much for joining us. And again, we'll see you. Is it June? Is Book Bonanza in June this year or July?
Yeah. June. It's like tomorrow. They gave tomorrow. Us like
10 months off. Yeah. Not even a full year to recuperate.
Yeah. Well, this year's in June. And I think if it's not in July this year, then next year's in July.
Well, then we're going to be apart for a really long time.
And then we'll be back the following year for another podcast to talk about that co-write between you and Josh.
Yes. We'll have so much to talk about.
And then my signatures will be legitimate.
Yes. But hope you guys have a great night, and we'll see you both soon.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you so much, Amelia and Josh. I was crying because I was laughing so much. Like, I love them. They're the sweetest. They're amazing. I love Amelia. Josh was like, it's so funny because we met him, like we were mentioning earlier in Book Bonanza. And he's like the sweetest. Him and Amelia are seriously some of the sweetest people I've ever met. And I'm so excited for Book Bonanza. Like, we said this podcast recorded us making a deal, making a date,
yes,
and a plan, and we're going to stick by it. So we'll see each other at Book Bonanza, and then we'll do another podcast with them in Book Bonanza. So I'm super excited. So thank you so much, Amelia and Josh, for joining us today. It was truly an honor and a pleasure. And if anybody has not read any of Amelia's books or Fair Game, please pick it up. Her books are seriously amazing. And like I said, her cliffhangers are torture, but if I'm on, I love a cliffhanger just because like when I love a series so much, I don't want it to end. So that anticipation, that excitement for the next one, it's seriously like the best feeling. So read it. Plus, if you catch up on her books, you won't have to wait. Like her books are like, just read them. So definitely pick it up. I'm so excited for everything that she has planned. I'm excited for the Ursula book, which I feel like I mention this all the time. And like, that book is seriously my most anticipated book ever.
Yeah.
So please follow her on Instagram. Pick up her books. If you have any questions for us, let us know. And we will be back with Amelia and Josh in... How far is Book Bonanza? March, April, May, June? 3 months, right?
Yeah, pretty much 3 months.
Gosh, that flew by.
Yeah.
I remember last year we were like freaking out, like, oh my God, Book Bonanza is still a year away. And now it's like, But we'll be back. So if you have any questions for us, like I said, let us know. And we'll be back next week. I don't know if you missed our announcement, but we will be interviewing OJ Shen and Parker Huntington. I'm very excited. I just finished my Dark Romeo, and it was like, it had me on the freaking edge of my seat. I was literally dying because OJ Shen, for me, is known to write these very mean heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was so mean. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. So it's truly an honor. And I'm so excited to talk to both of them and kind of dive into their mind on how they plotted this, because it's like, they're both amazing, amazing authors with some of like really dark, mean, sexy, yummy heroes. So I'm very excited to dive into their mind and their way of writing. So please make sure you check out that interview next week. We hope you have an amazing week, and stick around for next week, and so we'll be back. Bye.
Bye.